Welcome back to Here's the Thing podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today we have a very special guest with us.
Oh, yes. Our guest today was born and raised in New York. To say he is talented is truly an understatement, as he plays several instruments. I would consider him to be a prophetic minstrel. He is a teacher and a newlywed. Our friend Josh Rivers.
Hey, yeah. What up, baby? You all right?
Yeah. Feel good.
I'm about to say you do it all. I'm about to say there's not much you don't do. Sound engineer. I'm about to say you mix. I'm about to say master. All that stuff. You
want albums? Whatever people need.
Yeah.
Man. Hey man, we appreciate you being on the show, man. Today, man, we're going to be talking about a lot of random things. But like, you know, one of the main things that, like, you know, I wanted to kind of bring up. Was in church, we have a lot of hired help.
Yes.
And with this hired help, I think there is a discernment level that goes into play when it comes to like bringing people on.
Yeah.
So like, you know, with you, how long have you been working for churches? Like, you know, how long have you been a musician? Like, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been at church all my life. I ain't never missed a Sunday. Even during the pandorama, I never missed a Sunday. But I've been hired at church for like the past probably like 15 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Playing. I started off at like my parents' church. My mom, my uncle, they all had a church together, and you know, they would say, "Hey, we ain't got a drummer this week. Get on the drums. Hey,
come
we ain't got a keyboard
here.
Player this week. Get on the keyboard. Hey, we got somebody that ain't singing. Y'all figure that out. I ain't gonna do it, but, you know, I help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I started off like that, and I realized people wanted to pay me for what I did. I thought it was just fun to go play at church.
You know what I'm saying?
And it never was about the money at first, but then, you know, it took up so much time. It had to be about the money, low key. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, because like, now I got a family, you know, or before then, even before being married, taking care of my family. You know, my mom worked, but, you know, not enough to, you know, be a single mom and you know, feed three other kids. So not that she wasn't doing well, she was killing it, but you know,
there
were some more other things I wanted too. I wanted the nice stuff from 7-Eleven. I wanted, you know, I wanted to get my own snacks and slushies and stuff like that, you know. And being told no and saying you don't have your own McDonald's money kind of hurt. So
you got your own McDonald's money.
I got my own McDonald's money now. So you know what I'm saying? So that's how it all worked out. And it's, I think so far it's just been nothing but a blessing, because my heart posture between it before it hasn't been, this is me working here, is me serving, and just so happen I get blessed for it.
Yeah.
So
how do you navigate the two? Like, you know, as far as like, you know, because I remember like when I first got hired for church, it felt weird like charging people to serve. So like, you know, like how did you like navigate that space?
Well, at first, it was whatever they were offering. I never asked for a price. I was still happy to just play. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no real bills at the time. The first church, I'll never forget, they was like, my mom, God bless her once again. Before I could actually get paid, you know, the first church that wanted to hire me was like, hey, we want to pay him. My mom was like, no, he's going to do this for the Lord. I was like, Mom, they just said they're going to pay me. We need that bread. But, you know, at the time, like, I was like, I would like to have it. I don't need it. But, you know, it would be nice to have. And it started from there. I think the winter time came around, and like I had to start walking. I was like, Mom, look, I at least need to take the bus, bro. So like, they gave me a little stipend to catch the bus to church, and it started from there. Like it started like $100 every week or something like that, and I was just required to come play the piano and go on home. And that was it. You know what I'm saying? So.
And how many churches you play for now?
Hey, man, let's not disclose that.
I'm
a free agent, but I play for quite a few churches. And if it's not consistent, you know, people hire me in to help or whatever. I fly all over the country for people to, you know, play at their conferences and stuff like that, and concerts and live recordings and stuff. So, God has, he's literally has blessed me to do some things I could only imagine that, you know, when I was, you know, 10 at the time. I'll never forget what inspired me to even want to do this for real. Kirk Carr had came to town, man. And I wasn't good at the drums. I was okay. And they needed a drummer. So I went to rehearsal. They let me play the show. And I didn't do well. My cousin Trey, I love him to death. This is a shameless plug. We were playing the song. I had to get up they let him on. The church went up. I was so upset. But at the same time, at the end of the concert, Kurt Carr was like, don't give up. I hear you have a sound. You just need to work on your sound.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it just been up. And then right after that, the church started paying me. It all was like in succession like that. So my life is just from being told I wasn't good enough to, hey, you're good enough, to being paid to be good enough to now I make my own schedule and stuff like that. And it all works out for me. So.
Amen. Yeah.
Can't argue with that, man. Your favorite instrument is what? What do you like to play the most?
I enjoy the bass, believe it or not.
Really?
As much as I play the piano, I really enjoy the bass. I feel like the bass is more felt than anything. Like, if there ain't no bass, you like something missing.
Yeah, I respect that.
The bass is the glue. Drums is the glue, but like the bass is like the real glue that's really gluing it all together. So I enjoy the bass, man.
That's what's up, man. I'm about to say, I mean, I worked with you a couple of times, I think that you're like top tier, like, you know, like of all the musicians that I work with and seen, like to see somebody multifaceted, committed, saved, like those things are like, you know, I think those things are levels above what I've seen from other people on display. So
I can second that. I know quite a few musicians. I've been around this earth a long time, and you know, and it kind of pains me to see that, like a lot of musicians that, you know, have similar story to mine, but they've turned to a space of like they get to have me, not it's an opportunity for me to be here. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like a lot of people, their gifts is what they think is the key to their, you know, making it. Nah, it's the heart behind playing. It's really the key to making it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go in there, I'm telling you, I promise you, I've only been fortunate to make it. And I haven't made it far. Like, you know, what people consider far, I consider it far.
Don't get me wrong.
I consider it far, but it's on a grand scheme of things of the homies that I look up to, it's not far. Like, it's literally, I'm still on the block. People I know is across the country. You know what I'm saying? So
I can respect that.
I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I'm glad that you afforded me this opportunity. I know it's only because of my heart posture behind doing what I do that I've gotten this far. Because had it not been, I could be like the homies that are making it but are not happy. They don't have no peace. Mm. They don't have no money. They have a hole in their pocket because they haven't, you know, been faithful to God with their gift. You know, not just their money, just their gift. You know,
said a whole world word. Yeah. No, talking about you, not the preacher.
No, my wife is. Amen. Yeah. I love you.
So I have a question. So I know in your introduction, you heard me refer to you as a prophetic minstrel.
Yes.
How would you, or what do you think is the difference between a minstrel and a regular musician? If there is one.
I think the difference is, once again, heart posture and your sensitivity to the spirit.
Yeah.
Minstrels, I know minstrels that can, you know, I mean, musicians, I know musicians that can play their tails off, but you don't feel nothing. Like you don't feel like the peace of God. You just feel, it's good to the ear. It's tickling to the ear. It's not something that changes the heart. Wow. Minstrels, it's literally the complete opposite. I can play the most basic thing, or not me, but minstrels.
Yeah.
Can play the most basic thing and like, the whole room is in a repentive state, or the whole room turns into, it's been, their spirit was low, but now they're joyful. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I think that's the biggest difference between a musician and a minstrel.
Wow. Because, I mean, I've been in those atmospheres where, like, you know, some of the churches that we, like, you know, we work for, where it's just one note.
It
like, or a chord that just sits in, like, everybody and everybody just shifts. Crying it and shifts, just, like, you know, on the floor, just rolling around. And to your point, it's like the spirit of God is like, you know, endorsed on that chord, like, you know, more so than just being a good musician and just being able to play like some dope, like, you know, chords or whatever the case is.
There's
like,
ministry to it.
It's literally ministry. I will say, like, a lot of it is within preparation. Like, you don't just, like, musicians practice the songs. Minstrels, like, embody the songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's song. Now, hey, let's put some disclaimers here. Minstrels don't be wanting to do this week to week, but sometimes, you know, if, you know, a minstrel is really tuned in and locked in, like, they embody the song. Like, we can sing Great Are You, Lord, 52 times, and, like, on the 53rd time, because I, like, listen to song God in my spirit.
Yeah.
It sings differently at the church. We've done the song 52,000 times.
Yeah.
But because I've taken my due diligence and, you know, embodied the song and, like, literally listen to the lyrics and listen to the chords. Why did they play these chords? What is this chord trying to, you know, convey to the people?
Yeah.
And then put my unique sound on it. Like, it goes a lot further because I have taken out the time to sit with God with this song to play it now for the people. You know what I'm saying? So
now that's what's up. I'm about to say, do you think it should be a requirement if you are playing for a church to be saved?
Oh, I would love to say yes.
Now, why is that not the case though? Because we see churches
I
where
for sure I knew an atheist.
That's tough.
Who I mean, he was an evangelist for atheism who tough. Played for churches on Sunday, and that blew my mind
he
when
sounded
I
like
first
he was a
heard
drummer.
It.
That is a drummer's. That's a drummer thing or a bass player.
I believe
because the bass players
drummer.
Come in off the Newports and they go back in their car.
You are silly.
Go. I'm saying I know him. I know him. I trust me. I know him. I know him. I know him.
So what's the importance behind like you know like really just being like for pastors if like you know pastors watching like what's the importance of hiring somebody that's saved versus just hiring just some random person because you know they can play good.
Those mm-hmm. are two different good questions though. Mm-hmm. Okay, what I'll answer to the first one. How, why is important is really important to the pastor because who you allow into your house dictates the temperature of your house. Hmm. So if you allow somebody that's lukewarm, you ain't got no fire. You ain't got is I have to speak. God says it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have to speak out.
Yeah, right.
That means not saying that he have to fire you, but it says that because I've allowed somebody in this house that doesn't carry the spirit of God, it you've now hindered the church going as far as it could go.
Wow. Hmm.
Or not even as far as it could go, it's just as far as a Sunday service goes. Not yeah. saying like
there's a blockade.
There's
there.
A blockade, literally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then when you hire somebody with the authentic, you know, Holy Ghost, like they're more of a help, if anything, because you notice like the musicians that are like not true believers or they do this because of a job, you can tell like they either they could be really nice, but at the same time, there's always friction. There's always discord sown somewhere mm-hmm. or they're sleeping with people in the church. Like, you know, just because they believe mm-hmm. don't mean they believe or have the spirit. You know, just because yeah. they say hallelujah doesn't mean they're a minstrel. You know what I'm saying? Just because they look like a thing doesn't mean they are a thing. So that's why it's really important on the pastors to look well into a matter, which is, you know, inspect the fruit. Do they really carry the heart of God? Do they carry, you know, the love for even people, because they can love God and hate people, oof. Which is still a hindrance to the church.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I about to say, I think that's interesting because when you bring up like, you know, the idea of like, you know, being on one accord and everybody like, you know, being on the same page as far as being saved, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus is, he's on a way somewhere and he stops at Jairus' daughter's house and she's dead. I about to say you know, everybody's like, no, she's dead. Like, you know, and God's like, nah, she's just asleep.
She's just asleep.
And because everybody wasn't on that same accord and understanding that, he literally kicked everybody out. And then in kicking everybody out, now Jairus' daughter gets up. And, like, you know, the Bible says that the word spread throughout the town. And, like, you know, why that makes me think of that, because, one, they were playing music. Like, you know, like,
I was about to speak just to that. I think it's funny that they had professional mourners in that story.
Yeah.
They're professional mourners for something that is not the space for it. Wow. So they're not in tune with the spirit to know that this girl is actually dead.
Come
so
on.
That's the difference between a minstrel and a musician. They got to know what the spirit requires, what the space requires. They got to know what's going on in the room, what's the temperature. So I think that the fact that you brought that up is really crazy to me, because
so
I was
good.
Literally like, Jesus, like they had professional mourners. Like, that's what they do. They come to mourn who died, but they're mourning something that never died.
Whew. That's so good.
Is that not us, like, on the day-to-day, though? Like, is that not us where we're mourning something? And God's like, that thing's not dead, but we've moved on mentally, and we don't invite God into that space. And unfortunately, what ends up happening is, like, you know, when you surround yourself with enough people like that, we have to begin to take the same thing that God does and do it for ourselves. Like, hey, if you guys are mourning something that's dead and I believe that it's alive, get out.
You got to go.
You got to go. Yeah. Like, please get away from me, because you're messing up the revival, for lack of better words, that could possibly happen, because you're not on one accord with what it is that God is trying to do. So
that's interesting, because even just like being in church, like, I think revival is like something that you hear often, right? We want to see miracles in church. We want to see revival. And then I'm listening to you and you're like, if everybody's not on one accord, if we're just hiring people just for a sound and it's not the sound, there's like, we're quenching a spirit. Like, we're not going to see him manifest in the way that
he
can.
You know what they always say? Oh, the Lord moved today. Praise and worship was fire.
Now, I got a hot take to that.
Please.
Okay.
Once again, I play at so many churches, and I have had the time to see it all, and I now believe that just because the spirit didn't move for me doesn't mean the spirit didn't move.
Oh,
that's
for sure,
right? There'd be so many churches. Me and my wife would be just talking. Not none of the church I go to now. I'm saying that now, but I'm saying we go to services out of the state, or out of the country.
Out the country,
yeah. And we'll be like, man, the you know, it was dope. There was a struggle, but you know, the lady in the back got what she needed. That's all that mattered. And right. that's what I've come to this space in my career where if it only be one.
Yeah.
Because I go into churches where the pastor might be dead spiritually. Mm. But he preaches because out of formality. So I have to go work double time because the Lord has sent me for some odd reason to go play somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm just like, Lord, this is a spirit that I don't want to be in. He's like, I called you here for a reason. Wow. All right, God, cool. Let's start playing a little keyboard, you know, do him a little worship, making sure the worship team is good. And then the Lord, you know, he does what he has to do. And then because I know I can now sense when people are shouting out of formality, I can sense when people are shouting authentically because they got in a breakthrough. I can see when people are crying because the pastor just so happened to lay hands and he said, you're going to get a car versus the person saying, God says you're going to live another week or, you know, not that drastic where God says he's seen your struggle. Right. Like somebody crying from that, it means more to me than somebody saying they're going to get a car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like being a minstrel, I'm aiding to that. Like, I'm like, okay, if it's not for the 99, I'll do it for the one, Lord. If you send me for the one, I'll go. I'm not you, but I will do it. You know what I'm saying? Because you leave the 99, but I'm willing to save for the, I'm willing to suffer through a really bad service to get to one. You know what I'm saying? So,
and I've seen in churches before where sometimes the musicians will have those moments of like really engaging in the Holy Spirit where they're like, stop playing. Right. I about to say, like, you know, I saw like maybe a couple times growing up, but when I met like you guys and like, you know, I don't want to drop.
I got what you're saying.
No, I'm going to drop their names. I about to say, so like between you, Gary, Charles, Tay, Sam, like, you know, like when y'all worship, or Sam, like when y'all play, like I always see like y'all don't ever like negate your surrender. I literally see y'all playing and then y'all would just stop playing and y'all would just start worshiping. Like, you know, how important is it, like, you know, to understand that your servitude is worship? Because I've never just seen it where, like, you know, the moment will be heavy and y'all just ignore it and y'all just keep playing. Y'all always engage.
Well, that kind of goes to leadership for me. Jason, shameless plug, I love Jason Darnell Beth, I'm gonna call you a full government son. I hire some of the people, or I haven't hired, I had the opportunity to bring on some people at the church and, you know, come into a team that actually understands that. And I think because I have expressed to them, hey, this music's cool. Serving is cool. But if you're not going home right, what are we doing this for?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like me and Jason have conversations all the time. Like, you know, the service is so good. I got what I needed. I'm glad there's a space that, you know, because we're minstrels, we don't have to work as minstrels. We actually can be people in this job. You know what I'm saying? So, Sam, we literally sit and talk about that all the time. Like, you know, it's cool. Like I said, it's cool to serve. It's cool to be obedient to the grid of service. You know what I'm saying? Like the run sheet of service. But
yeah,
to be in tune, to know what the Spirit is doing.
Yeah, and sometimes that sacrifice is not just for the people. The sacrifice is for the musicians. So sometimes if God is really like, you know, at our church, you know, when God really be moving, like, we're not set apart from the people, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all one. We are all one. So with that being said, if God is moving on them, we should be able to sit at the table and eat with them as well. You
Come
know what
on.
I'm saying? So
that's good.
No, I just, like I said, I just love seeing people really, like, the hired help of churches really engaging. I do production for churches, and a lot of times we're more responsible for carrying out like the tone of the service, where we don't necessarily get to engage and be fed in a moment or whatever case is. But I just love that you guys are always just like, hey, no, like, we're going to take this time and really like just sit in this moment.
I think it's already implied, but I just want to kind of talk about like maybe the dangers or even just the downside of maybe hiring people who aren't saved just for the sake of we need a drummer or we need somebody on bass this week. Like, I feel like that could be detrimental. It might not be. It might be a thing where God's going to get the glory anyways. But do you think that there's any downside to that?
It comes to personnel now. So, like, if I'm the worship pastor at a church and I have to hire somebody out of need.
Yeah.
Because my drummer just so happened to be sick, so I need to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I should... If I can't get somebody I trust, okay, I'm not afraid to call who I don't know. because I have to try somebody by the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I give people the opportunity to be. Now, hiring is a different thing. Now, I'm not hiring John Doe because out of need. I'm going to, if I see promise in something, if I see promise in somebody, and not that it's up to me, if God says this is somebody you're supposed to, you know, spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jason, Sam, love them to death. I spend time with them. Not that they were not spiritually led before. It's just now I know I learned something from them and they learned something from me. So why do I just hold that to them? There's other people that don't know what we know that I get to pour into. You know, there's at my Sunday morning, there's a young man that comes around, you know, granted, he's not the, you know, not saying he's not the best, but he just doesn't know. And he'll be like, why do y'all play what y'all play? How do y'all sound? Like, where does this come from? And you know, I don't shun him for not knowing because a lot of musicians are in the space. Musicians are in that space because of lack of knowing. They didn't pick up their Bible. They didn't spend time with God. They just do it because somebody hired them and they forgot to give them the ABCs of why you do what you do in our church. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I would never. It's detrimental because if you just hiring them willy nilly, If I'm spiritually in tune, I'm okay with hiring somebody I don't know and then using the spirit of discernment to see if this is somebody I should introduce to our church.
Yeah,
introduce them to, you know, the space we've cultivated. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because
not all people are good soil.
You're not wrong there. So could you explain to people, because I think there's this wave going on right now in churches of prophetic worship. And this is like, no, just the new hotness.
It's
like,
the new hotness.
I'm about to say like
it was
what?
Shouting is now, you know, and I think the next wave is going to be soaking. So who knows what's going to happen?
Soaking music will be a great wave. Like, just,
it's a great wave. It's one I sign off on.
I'm with the soaking music in my prayer time.
Listen, because we don't always need somebody singing.
Yeah. Right.
Now, granted, we love y'all singers. I'm not shooting y'all down, but I think churches they put too much weight on y'all. Like,
yeah.
Y'all are now the new hype men of the church. You know what I'm saying? So, like, in order for the pastor to get up, there has to be a certain song. The people got to be a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like to offload the weight on them, let there be a few minutes of the band going forward. You know what I'm saying? A few of the churches, they allow us to do that. It'd be a moment for the band to go for it. And I feel like that tills the ground just as well as the worship leader singing for the whole 45 minutes.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's good. So, again, explain to me prophetic worship. I'm about to say, so for somebody that doesn't know, for somebody that, like, you know, like, goes to church for the first time, they encounter this, what is prophetic worship and what is the point of it? And how is it, I know I'm asking multiple part questions, but how is it different from what worship was
like in a set list?
Like the 90s going to the early 2000s? Like, you know, like, how is it different?
Well, I'll answer in reverse.
Okay.
I grew up in the 90s. We had what was not exactly called prophetic worship, but it was prophetic worship. My mom was just saying whatever came to mind. So it was prophetic worship before prophetic worship.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So she'd just get up there, truly, God won't lie. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know this one, so I got to play it. Got to make it up on the spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, so I would say prophetic worship at the basis, you know, singing songs of the Lord that hasn't never been written down.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Singing or... Lord, okay.
Take your time, brother.
Because I want to say it how he gave it to me, but like,
going
to
say
it's literally like how for the singer singing the song that's never been written down, for musician is scoring the moment that God has ushered you into. So, I think we take that's it's a new wave. You know, people love the prophetic worship.
Yeah.
Do we overly use it? Yes, because there should be structure. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
God works in structure and uninstructed. So,
yeah.
You know, I think with this season that, you know, worship is in, I think it's beautiful. Once again, like I said, it's overused because people are so, they're itching for that. Like, they're itching for the unseen.
Yeah.
When truly, like, I don't need to see the unseen. I just need to know that God's good.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the perfect, like,
I just feel like we're in like a chant. We're in a chant season. Like now, like all work. Like I feel like at one point in time, worship used to be like say something songs. So crazy. No, say it. I'm about to say, I feel like back in
here
the day.
Here comes
like,
the horse and the rider. Derek, I love you. I promise you, I'm not coming for you. But, you know, I think it's what he does is, like, I'll shout out Derek. Derek is my homeboy. That's my
shout
dog
out to Derek,
life.
Man.
He does prophetic worship well, but he also knows how to sing on the grid if it needs to be. Like, yeah. Singing on the grid is like singing a set list song.
Right. Okay.
Unless the band at our church tells him we're not doing that song, and then that's our being insubordinate. Amen. But, you know, I think, you know, there has to be a balance. I think prophetic worship is cool. I wish it wasn't overused. I wish people wouldn't be so hungry for that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not needed all the time. Like, yes, we want to hear what God is saying, but God can also flow in the hymn. Mm-hmm. God can flow in all those other spaces, not just prophetic flow of you just making something up that you've actually practiced in your back room. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these churches, a lot of these worship
leaders, it's not prophetic.
That's a hot take. Leave that alone. yeah, it's not always prophetic, but because the people are catching an old glory from what you've already got from God a minute ago.
Oh.
So it's prophetic to them. It's not prophetic to you.
Old glory?
The old glory.
I'm not shooting for nobody, by the way. I'm just telling
that
you.
That is real.
I'm telling you what happens in our sound checks that end up making it to our set list. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, I mean, so what would be, because I think that's hilarious, but because I feel like, you know, like, we stop, I don't want to say that we stop, but, you know, when we look at, like, Kirk Franklin used to write songs, like, you know, like, we had verses, like, shout out to songs that used to have three verses. Like a verse, a bridge, a vamp, like, you know, like.
Interlude, if lucky.
Right, I about to say, but I feel like now, which I don't have a problem with it, but I heard somebody bring it to me, they're like, you know, we're tired of these just chants, like. And somebody tried to make it seem like chants aren't biblical, like chants are all, like, you know, like they sound weird. But I showed them in scripture that there are some scriptures that literally chant the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, like, how did this come about? Like, when did we say, you know what, less is more, we're not writing four verses anymore, now we're just going to repeat the same, like, you know, chant for the next 3 minutes.
Oh, man.
You and don't just be going up. We're not going to sit and act like those songs don't be, like, what's that song? Among Thousands? No, not that.
I won't name the song. Yeshua?
Look, Yeshua, I can play that song for 2 days straight and never be offended. They're only saying two lines.
Yeah.
Like, I can sing that song all the time, but there are some people that feel like, man, like, they miss songwriting. So is it, like, considered, like, lazy, or is this, like, just something new that y'all need to get with?
I feel like there's a lot of lazy writing out there, but I also feel like it's also a call to what your spiritual aptitude is. Like, where are you in God? Are you just at, you know, God so loved the world? Mm. Are you reading deeper into Proverbs, or are you in the Revelation? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to say you can't stay at the ABC,
right?
But there's more letters.
There's more letters in there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I feel like it's come from a space of, well, I honestly believe a lot of the chant worship, you know, vibe is coming from servant leaders that haven't been groomed into leading worship, just having a good moment and just recording it.
Ooh.
Who are you talking about, sir?
I'm not talking about nobody. I can talk about my own self. Like, I'm not a worship leader by no right. I do music. I can do the music real well.
Yeah.
But as far as writing, a lot of my space has been just prophetic moments that I happen to get. And I'm like, oh, we should record this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I can understand where that comes from. I haven't spent, like, that's not a gift that I have exercised often enough to be like, okay, let me sit down and really write a verse. Let me sit down and really write a chorus, not just a little, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I actually, you know, structured a song more than just the moment that I remember I found it on.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
I know that's right. Okay, this might be a hot take.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm just setting you up for one. But I just know that there's a lot of stereotypes when it comes to church musicians.
Oh, man, here it is.
What?
There's only like a few of them, and you got three of them to pick from. Go ahead.
No, I mean, like, what are some of the stereotypes that you've heard? Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, you know. Y'all know. I don't know why we playing in here.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
They be sleeping around, mm-hmm. or, you know, they be stealing, or they don't come on time. They be wanting their money early. They don't want they coming to chase down the pastor because the money ain't right.
Oh, Lord.
They fighting in the church, you know. They being messy, saying I could preach better than the pastor. Really, no, you don't need to be up here. You know, there's a whole bunch of stereotypes. church hopping. I left this church because this church ain't paying me enough, and now I'm talking down about this church to the next church. Mm. Oh, this church didn't know how to steward me. They didn't know how to steward my gifts, so I'm here now. You know what I'm saying?
You can tell. Leave you've that been alone. In this for a while. Yeah. You've heard it all.
Yeah. Oh, they're more than fair. I know them. I know them boys like that. Like I come from my city. Yeah, it's like that. Like, even here is like that. Like, I know I come from a lot of churches that will throw a brother away because of one mistake. And then it ends up in a whole slew of mistakes because now, I like the statement I said, this church didn't know how to steward me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm here, but I haven't got fixed from my last situation. So now I'm replicating, oh, the alto section woman want me now, so... We just start talking. But that's what happened at me at the last church. I was messing with the sopranos.
Mm.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? So now, not me. I'm just
saying.
I said, no, son. I've lived a good life, and not that good. I lived a holy life. But, you know, I think if church did a better job of saying, okay, you fell.
Yeah.
You jacked up, bro. But... I'm not throwing you away. Listen, this is what we're going to do to fix this. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. I believe in the therapy, you know, that culture is nice, but sometimes it is general deliverance. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
but therapy too. Like, I believe both ways. So it's just like, you have something going on instead of churching you and saying, you got demons. No, this is why you shouldn't do it. Let me give you scripture. Da, 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 da. Okay, this is how we avoid these things. You shouldn't be at the church at 10 o'clock at night and it's just you in the alto. Or mm-hmm. a woman at the church.
Yeah.
Okay, now you feel like you can't hold yourself accountable? Okay, cool, this is what we do. Make sure one of the musicians is with you always that holds you accountable. God is my witness. Jason Darnell Betts, Jason and Sam, Charles, if I'm out of town, not that I do crazy stuff, but yeah. I know if I'm doing too much, like if I'm just, I have a bad habit of going to churches and just... They asked me to do one thing, but like the sound broke. So I go back there and fix it.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad because like they didn't, I feel like, oh, they didn't, you know, they didn't even say thank you. They just, bye, you know. Yeah. And now I have my crew of people with me. They'd be like, Josh, hey man, just sit down. It's okay. We'll make it work. So I'm saying that in the aspect of if I was a whoremonger, if I was doing drugs, like, keep people around you that say, hey, no, that ain't the way, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it comes to having submitted musicians at your church, you know? Like, they know the difference between right and wrong.
This just sounds like discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like, if you please just... stop. I mean, like, because I feel like that's the thing that's lacking. It's like, you are walking two by two, it's harder to fall victim.
Oh, yeah.
When you have people around you to hold you accountable and point you back to the book.
Yeah.
About to say, so, like, you know, so is that the solution for musicians to start... Well, for churches to implement discipleship, but for also, like, you know, for musicians to have fellow musicians that can hold them accountable and say, hey, man, like, you know, make sure I walk this thing out the best way I can.
Well, this kind of goes back to me saying the church doesn't do a good job. There are minstrels at churches that the church doesn't know what to do with them. They're just too good. Like,
I was just going to ask, like, do the pastors and stuff, do they know and they just kind of turn a blind eye? Or?
Some pastors, like, I'm not going to name no names, but some pastors just don't know how to speak to where you are.
Mm.
They know how to speak to the people that, you know, they're sheep. But sometimes, as minstrels, you go to houses that the pastor really can't speak to you, but you're on a mission outside of the pastor. Not that you're doing your own thing within the church. You're still in stride with the church, but God has called you to a space within the church. Like, my church at my Sunday night. I love them. Like, that's my church. Like, that's my home. Like,
yeah.
My apostle is my apostle. But I know that I'm called to a people within inside the church. My musicians, like, not from a ministry aspect, but from an accountability aspect.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's a lot of minstrels. There's a lot of churches. You can't expect every church to be great.
Fact.
You can't expect every minstrel to be great. So with that being said, I think it'd be dope if somebody was to come up with something that you know, can speak to those spaces and not with the mindset of pimping that musician. No, I genuinely just want to help you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And being open to being helped. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of minstrels, they don't see nothing wrong with smoking weed before church. Mm. They don't see nothing wrong with being drunk before church. They don't see nothing wrong with just having sex right before 11 a.m. service. You know what I'm saying? With that, somebody that ain't your wife.
It makes them better.
They think their life is greater, but really.
I need that focus.
Really, you're killing not just yourself. You're killing the people because I believe, I don't have no biblical scripture. This is where you call my wife for this stuff. But I believe what you go through is what you spew upon the people. Mm. So if I come from I smoke weed, it comes out in my playing. If I've been sleeping and drinking, it comes out in my playing. Like I've come to the space where I know what musicians be low-key going through by the way they play.
Now that's a different type of discernment.
I just know a lot of people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I've been under so many leaderships that I start to see people's downfalls. You know what I'm saying? I see what people's issues be. And it, for me, I think God is really building my leadership, but I never come to condemn them. I come to learn in them, like, hey, if God gives me the space to speak to them, like I said, I have worked under a lot of leadership. Like, if I go back home, this way I can say back home and nobody would know.
Yeah.
But, like, back home, you know, there was a pastor I was working for, and it was just, you know, he wasn't jealous, but the attention was him. The church attention should be him, is what he was feeling. And I'm like, bro, I come in and do my little Sunday service thing, you know, play my little keyboard. The worship and arts department started to be the focal point of the church, and now he feels like the word is diminished. I'm like, no, it goes hand in hand. It's not me versus you. It's us versus the devil.
Yeah.
And now you're letting the devil divide us.
Come on.
So I think, you know, I say that all to say, like, it goes back to my point. Like, a lot of churches can't disciple what they can't understand. You know?
Interesting. Like, so do you also play, like, in secular venues or
I do I don't enjoy it.
I was just gonna ask, like, is there a difference or
to say I don't enjoy is not true. I don't find it as fun as playing in church.
Really?
Like, I do secular, like, I wouldn't mind doing like a secular gig because I know I can still be a light on the road, like,
you know. Yeah, yeah.
I don't find myself happy to do that stuff though, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're more likely to see me in church than on a secular gig. Now, if the homies ask me, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going out to go find no secular gig.
Gotcha.
I'm going. If somebody just, hey, bro, we need a keyboard player for this. All right, cool. I got you. What's the songs? Oh, God, I don't know none of these songs. It ain't gospel's top 40. So, like, now I got to really learn it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I enjoy it. I think God has given me some spaces for secular to where, I can meet people that I'd never meet at church. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm more prone to meet somebody that really needs Jesus out there versus at church. Everybody in church got Jesus.
That's
or they have a form of Jesus, you know? So, you know, Jason's girlfriend, her name is Leah Grace. She just put out a single.
Really, I'm about to check it out.
I had a chance to mix that. It's secular music. It's called 25.
Okay.
But we did she did a show not too long ago, and I was meeting people that I thought was in church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not to say they can't be there, but it's just like, I was like, hey, you know, he walked away from God. I would never see him again because we don't go to the same church. We don't live in the same area. So for me to be in a space that is not a church and still have to do ministry is dope to me. So I don't mind doing the road. And I would hate for the churches to shun me for doing it because honestly,
that is
your people in your church should be saved. So why are you concerned about me going doing ministry outside your church?
The preacher to the choir.
One thing that I find interesting, and it's kind of shifted my perspective, because I used to go to concerts all the time. Like, since, you know, I think Lil Bow Wow was probably my first concert. Oh, wow. Like, oh, the first
the Lil Bow Wow Chris Brown tour.
No, I mean, like, his then? First.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Like that.
Oh.
I've been going to concerts for a while, and I don't know. I feel like God has given me this perspective where when we go to these concerts, it looks like worship. It's put your hands in the air, you know, and you're singing the lyrics and you're looking up at this person or whatever. And so I wonder, is there like a, I don't know, I just feel like there's almost like a little tug of war inside where it's just like, is it just entertainment or is it in a way, a form of worship. Y'all because just, it looks like what you see in the church, right?
You're asking all the good questions that I'm afraid to answer. Because, like, it's not stuff that, the things you're asking are things that, you know, I think about often.
Mm-hmm.
From a space of, like, yeah, like, the conscious do be on that type of time.
Which, if you look like them now. I'm about to say, it used to be church used to be bright. Now it's dark church.
Marcus.
I'm about to say, you got fall machine, got strobe Marcus. Lights. I'm about to say, like, I'm just saying, like.
Marcus, relax.
Like, it looks very concert-like. I'm about to say, and we call it, what do we call it, like, sexy Jesus? Where, like, it's just.
No.
No, that's a thing. Tell me it's not a thing.
You're using all my language. Please stop before I get in trouble.
Sexy Jesus is a thing where, like, you know, the lights get dim. And the fall comes out, and it's like this. It's really production. I love production.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, and it looks really good. But to your point, it looks like a little Bow Wow concert.
So I'm going to answer both y'all questions.
Yeah.
Well, I have something to say to that. I'm not mad at production. I think production is cool. I think churches can have the tendency to take it too far.
Same.
I don't like the church to be dark, but I do like lights. I do like the lights going.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I like to see a little strobe every now and again to emphasize that the music is doing something.
Right.
It adds to the
experience.
But I think to your question, I think like the church a lot of spaces have gone from production to idolizing how it makes you feel versus how the Holy Ghost can transform.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's good.
You know, like, the church is big on feelings now. You know what I'm saying? Back in my day, you didn't have room for feelings.
Yeah,
you just had to have the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
You know, you go on. You know, now, you know, I feel like, yeah, feelings are valid, but, like, okay, all right. I work for a church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this church took us to a production, or like a church that was showing like their production side.
Okay.
And I was asking the lighting director, why do you do what you do? Like, why do you do the lights that you do? He told me, bro, like, I know what the mood of light will make me feel in a moment. You know what I'm saying? I know what the smoke makes me reverence in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, So production has an underlying tone to it that is outside of Christ, low key to me. If not done correctly.
Yeah.
Because you can do it and your meaning is Jesus, but some people do it to get you to show. Some people are like, all right, turn the lights down low, get the smoke going, make it look real sparkly in here. All right, guys, we're about to give.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I think, you know, God is really speaking and, you know, hasn't said anything. It's just time to give. You know what I'm saying? But because the lights are low, we just got done singing A Firm Foundation. Now we've cried because, Lord, I need a firm foundation. The lights have made me feel this type of way because now I feel like I'm alone in this darkness. But this light that's showing from the stage is giving me hope. So now the pastor can come up behind there and say, hey, it's time to give. But because my emotions have been hit by the lights and the music.
Wow.
I feel more prone to give. Nothing wrong.
Right.
With production.
Yeah. When your mindset is that, now it's a problem with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with it being dark. Okay. Unnecessarily dark. If I can't see my shoes, it's too dark. But if it's a little dim.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm okay with the dimness of it.
You can dim it so the lights can shine through. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But I've been in literally some churches where I have to put my phone out and walk down the aisle. Because I could trip and fall because I can't see.
That's a liability for your churches.
That's a liability for these churches.
Y'all going to get sued. Turn the lights on.
I know a church that has gotten sued recently. You know what I'm saying? So it's just thinking of that, you know. But I feel like, once again, let's cut back to the original conversation. Like, what's the difference between a minstrel and a musician? Like, the heart posture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Production. What's the difference between a camera guy and somebody that just shoots, who just does film?
Or a scriber.
A scriber.
Yeah.
It literally is heart posture, bro. So
yeah, I agree. All right, so look, let's go through some. I about to say, I want to have some fun.
Oh man!
Tough. All right, so look, I about to say, so top five gospel songs today. If you were putting somebody on to some new music, like, you know, like as far as like, you know, some good gospel music, give me a top five.
I have some so unpopular opinion.
I about to say,
one is because I worked on it and I'm so glad, I'm so proud.
Talk your stuff, okay. Whatever, especially the ones that you worked on.
Public Union, it's a group that I play for. They're pretty, you know, they're new, but some of the faces in there are not new. They're people you've seen around.
Okay.
Ajani Hambrick, fire. But she had, we just dropped the EP, they dropped the EP. Has a, some pretty good music on there. I got the chance to play piano on there.
Nice. Okay.
It's not overly production. It's something that's just like, hey, this is some good music to listen to when you don't need all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's not quite Maverick.
Right. Shout out to Maverick.
Shout out to Maverick. Because the Maverick stuff has a space. That stuff is right. Good. Like, there's songs I was, oh, God. No, this, you know, it's good stuff. But
yeah.
I feel like I'm in a space in my musical career where I like to hear the both. I want to hear the James Fortunes, but
shout
I also
James
want.
Fortune.
I'm about to say
and fire
and fire. Listen, fire. I want to hear that, but I also want to hear the Mav. Like their song, like you said, it goes to what song did you reference? Yeshua. Like there's times where I want to hear that. Like when I worship, I don't want to hear the heavy hit. Sometimes I just want to hear a good pad going in somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's sometimes when I want to be a musician or I want to reverence God with the most that I can give. I want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? So Public Union, I love their EP is fire. I had the opportunity to play on that. Y'all can go download to get it.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Plug.
I guess that's one. How many more?
And that was just one?
Like
I thought you gave two.
No, Ashley, she's the
founder.
She's,
okay. Yeah, I got you. I'm about to say.
Let me go to my.
Yeah, I'm about to say this. It ain't even got to be like songs from the recent 2024, like, you know, if there's a good like Donnie McClurkin song you want to drop, like, you know, like I'm about to say, just so you know, this is Seth, by the way, off camera. I'm about to say, Seth is that
Seth,
guy.
How you doing?
Say,
how you doing?
He's always
background.
We love Seth.
I will tell you right now, if I'm going through and I just need to hear a song that's like it will forever speak to my spirit, Things Will Work Out by Ricky Dillard.
Choir.
Old but school. It's just, I feel like that song specifically, it's one of those I heard during a season where, like, life was really bad. Like, life was just not good. Not from, like, nothing I did, but it's just, I couldn't get a control of anything that was going on around me. So I literally had to thank God and tell me, like, things will work out. I was like, we had to play this at a service, and I was like, I'm over here practicing. I'm like,
oh,
it's gonna work out, God. I know it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably top. That's in my top. Joel Barnes has a record that just came out. He has a song on there called Altar that's really dope. I think it's a real authentic song. Like one of the lyrics is like, we don't need these four walls. We just need the altar call. And I was like, bro,
Oh
wow,
like that's dope. Like
we don't need these four walls. That's.
Joel Barnes, that's a dope joint that I really listen to. Shout out to James Fortune, I'm going to call it. He has a song that came out probably last year called Committed.
Okay.
I'm a Travis Greene fan, but it has like a good Travis Greene little vibe to it. Like, but it's James Fortune's sound. Like, and it's really dope. It's called Committed by James Fortune. That's what, three, four?
That's four.
Yeah, that's four. Okay. Yeah. How about that? Well, I'll tell you, like, you know, and I know that we just gave you a top five of the new school.
That's great.
Now, let's go to old school. Because Fred Hammond, You Are the Living Word, I can play that song 20 times out of 10. Like, you know, like every time. Like when that song comes on, I'm done for. I'm about to say, so You Are the Living Word, Fred Hammond. You got one? Old song.
Old school?
I'll never shall forget James Hall. Sorry, that was my honorable mention.
Wow.
James Hall. I'm a choir dude, so like.
Okay. I'm putting everybody on the spot.
We listen
to gospel music. You listen to gospel music more than anybody in this room, probably. I about to say, like, no, and not because we don't listen to gospel music, but because, like, you know,
on my playlist
and
anything. This is so old. I don't even. I always loved Donnie McClurkin, Speak to My Heart.
That will church you if you ain't careful. That will send you down if you ain't careful. You'd be sliding down the bathroom wall talking about some Jesus.
Yeah, that's an old goodie for sure.
For every mountain.
Oh, wow.
What song did we play? We were in the studio that one time.
Are you talking about
Oh my gosh. We were preparing. We were getting ready to do a shoot, and he always entertains my shenanigans. So I'd be singing a song and then we'd just play it on like YouTube. Yes, when the Saints.
Now that's an oldie dog.
When the now, Saints.
This is how I'm gonna give away a secret. If I wanna test the room to see what they on for real.
Yeah.
If I can play that and somebody and they do a look.
Like,
I know this room knows something. Yeah, about
y'all been in church for a little bit.
They've been in church, so you know that makes me gauge how I play in a room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
When the Saints and also When Sunday Comes.
Yes.
When Sunday Comes, Daryl Coley. Daryl Coley.
Beyond the Veil, Daryl Coley, though. Woo. I'd rather hear that, though. That's a hot take.
I mean, what, over When Sunday Comes?
Yeah.
You don't believe that.
I believe that.
When Sunday Comes.
Beyond the Veil?
Top-tier Daryl Coley.
Nah, Beyond the Veil, top-tier Daryl Coley, bro.
For those who listen to Daryl Coley, which one is better? Beyond the Veil, which, again,
is an honorable regret.
Fire! Or When Sunday Comes, Daryl Coley.
It's the look.
From a production standpoint, I can see why you would say that. I can see why you said that.
When Sunday Comes, that boy Solo is...
He's crazy there. Whew. He's on angel time.
Facts. So let me ask you a question. I'm about to say, because we're bringing up old songs. I'm about to say, how important is it for new musicians to learn old music?
It's so important.
Because I be seeing when pastors be trying to like get like,
you just don't want to be embarrassed. That's why I'm gonna say you would want to learn it,
right?
I play, once again, I play so many churches.
Yeah,
I play for a church where the mother knew mostly hymns. She didn't know.
We don't do hymns no more.
Yeah, she was saying Old Rugged Cross. Oh Lord, listen, I've been at the CCM church too long. Y'all pray for me. But you know, she was saying hymns.
Yeah,
that. Most churches just wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Or like, it's not even most churches wouldn't know. It's just a lost art. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
People don't think to sing those songs because the value has left this now's church.
Mm-hmm.
That was their value back in the 80s, 90s because they didn't have Chandler Moore. They didn't have, I'm not shooting them down. That stuff is good now because that speaks to the now ages. But I just know for me specifically, I have to pull from both bags because there's a hymn that Jesus Don't Pass Me By. I'm crying, Savior, hear my humble cry. Like that song, I will never get. I was preaching a trial sermon. I'm not a preacher, though.
Preacher, intercessor, prophet.
Hey,
listen, minstrel. What don't he do?
Pray for me. It wasn't even a trial sermon. It's just one of those things. My mom at the time, she was just like, you got to get up and preach. I was like, I don't want to do that. I was driving. Little backstory. She has late night service. So it was before I came to ATL Hub. I was at a Sunday night service.
Okay.
And church would be, we'll start at 5 and don't get out till 11. It'd be long church. So, Jesus, thank you for deliverance. I love y'all church. But that service, I get home, it'd be 3 a.m. and I'd be angry because I'm like, I got to get back up.
Yeah.
But she had me preach and I had an offense in my heart at the time. Me and my brother at the time, we got into an argument over something. And I was just like, Lord, I ain't gonna say what I'm gonna say, but I'm just tired. I'm tired of people just doing dumb stuff and they don't pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I'm just like, you know, I feel like God, you just keep on passing me by. And I end up saying, like, you know, I'm like, Lord, I know I gotta preach. So I'm studying the word. I get in my car, I drive. I turn on a little pad, a little latch pad, and it just stays in one key. Yeah. I'm over here singing a song. I'm about to crash my car because I'm like, Lord.
The tears in
your
eyes.
I honestly know I said that in anger, but I know you would never pass me by. You know what I'm saying? Like, and in that moment, I think, you know, it was better than a Mav song. It was better, you know what I'm saying? So I wish the Saints today would pull from those bags, not for the sake of being catchy, because we have a habit of singing a hymn just to be catchy. You know what I'm saying? Or tag it on top of our new song just so we can say we tied something old.
Right.
But there's hymns that may still never get sung, may never get sung again because it's not catchy. You know what I'm saying? So.
I was about to say, and shout out to red and green hymnals. Doc, like, you know, being in the church.
Got two of those at the crib.
I was about to say, like, those things are a lost art. But, I was about to say, like, this is rich, man. I think that, like, you know, we are, I just want people to understand when it comes to the church and the higher help, it's like, hey, hire some people that have a relationship with God. Yeah. So that way your church can progress and move in power. And I just love, like, you know, the perspective that you've been given.
Yeah, and so, even just like the importance of music and how it kind of helps usher people in and how it can be used for deliverance and just all the things. I think that's really powerful. So
I want to say, can I ask y'all some questions? Y'all be asking all the good questions.
Go ahead.
This is a podcast. See, I'm gonna take over for 5 seconds. What do y'all feel like y'all would like to see from minstrels? Not as they play, but like, even if it is just playing, like, what's something is refreshing to see or something you would like to see from musicians?
Wow.
Something that I would like to see.
I know you would, because you're productive.
To be honest, I would like, and maybe this is not for minstrels, but maybe just more so for musicians, a sensitivity to the spirit when we're playing in churches. I can't tell you how many times that there's a forced shout. In a moment where, like,
I'm guilty of that, though.
I mean, I get it. Sometimes we want to rock out
because we want to.
I'm about to say, but I'm just like, man, like the moment was so sensitive.
Yeah.
And people are crying and weeping and having this encounter with Christ, and then here you come, dun, dun, dun.
I can speak to that, though.
Knowing that, like, go ahead, please. I'm about to say, like, you know,
I think a lot of musicians, because the moment be so high, they don't know how to respond to it. It's literally like. It's a foreign language to them, so okay. they'll praise the way they know how to praise.
Wow. Okay.
So
I can even digress.
I'm guilty to that. Like I know musicians. I've come to spaces because I didn't know the art of soaking, or I didn't know the art of prophetic worship. They're screaming, so that must mean they want to shout.
Right.
No. They're actually lamenting. You shouldn't shout right now. You know what I'm saying? They're crying. They're mourning. Or, you know, they're grateful. This is a time to shout, but not really. They just want high praise. There's a difference between shouting and high praise, which is just cymbals crashing, praise on the high cymbals, you know, high sounding cymbals. The Bible says it. That's high praise. You know
what I'm saying?
I wish, you know, like you said, music being sensitive, but I think more than being sensitive, actually just understanding the language of what you do. You know what I'm saying?
Because,
like, it's okay. You can be sensitive as all crap, but unaware of what you need to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, fair. That's fair.
Like, I'm sensitive to the spirit right now, but, like, because I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm just going to do something and hope it works. Because that's where a lot of people operate out of.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I guess for me, and it's probably because I'm, like, a teacher, I would love, even just after this conversation, for there to be some type of intentional discipleship and teaching when it comes to our minstrels that we hire. You know, like you said, a lot of people grow up in the church and it's like, this is just what we need you to do. Mm-hmm. And they may not even understand the weight of what they're being asked to do. So if that was a part of, I don't know, church in some way, I think that would be cool.
It's hard.
I know.
It's hard because this is a whole nother bag, but like, let's just take the gospel belt.
Okay.
Versus like the North, like New York, where I come from, I have the best of both worlds. I understand both worlds.
Mm.
Yeah. So responses are different. Mm. So just because I have the ability to teach somebody doesn't mean you can take it home. It works.
Mm.
Right. You need somebody in that area, you know? And I feel like a lot of areas just don't have, like I went to, Apostle had did the West Coast tour and, I was meeting the musicians, like the stuff I was thinking was cool and understand. They didn't understand, save their life.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all come from a prophetic house. There's like, just because, all right, you know, just because we come from that doesn't mean we know that. And then secondary, just because I teach you doesn't mean it works in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can teach you what I do every week. Doesn't mean it goes home for you. It doesn't work at home. So I think regionally, if there was teachers for regions,
like each church have their own thing where they are intentional with the musicians, where it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, then you go back into the, you know, many are called, few are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people that do what I do but can't teach it.
Yeah, because it really is a gift.
It's really a gift. Like, there are people that can play. I hate when people do that, like they can play atmospheres. I'm like, don't call it atmosphere. Just don't be deep with it. Just call it what it is. You know,
they play good.
They play good and they can play to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Or they know how to play your emotions well. That's two different things. But you know, they can't teach it, or they're not in a space to even teach it, even if they could teach it, because they're immature.
Hmm.
Because you'll scar more people giving them knowledge that they can't handle.
Ooh.
That's good.
Like, you can teach me camera stuff all day, but because I don't know, now I'm going places saying, I know something about ISO. You see why I make that joke all the time?
Yeah,
the ISO is real low, it's real high. That's knowledge that I know from you, but I can't apply it.
Yeah.
And it hurts me because it's now I can say it somewhere, and they'd be like, something's wrong with the camera. Oh, something with the ISO, and really I mess up the camera. That's what I say. It can mess up. It can scar people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I'm about to say, are there any instruments that you think are off limits in church? I'm about to say, like, you know, I've been seeing, I mean, I see the horns coming back. People are blowing horns back in church now. I'm about to say, but what instrument is off limits? Like, don't bring this instrument inside the church.
I don't think it's off limits. I just wish people knew how to play it. Like, it is not off limits stuff. Because anything can sound good. But if I had to choose one.
Like the worst instrument.
Hot take.
Please.
Solo saxophone. Solo. Just him by himself.
The sexy.
The sexy. That's where sexy Jesus come from.
Sexy sax in church.
I know some a saxophonist that can really play the glory down. But to me, in a setting what we play and you don't mix well. It's two worlds trying to mix and it doesn't work. You know, it can, but for me. Specifically, it doesn't work because the way I play, the way my band set, or you know how we play, there's just no space within the mix of things for it to work. So I would say sexy saxophone, top of the board, gotta go. That and spoons. I've seen somebody at a church playing spoons with the mic, trying to be in the live stream, real bad. It was real bad. That's old school church.
That's nasty work.
That's old school church. That's nasty. I'd much rather you have a washboard. But because you came with the spoons, I got to talk about you.
All right. So we asked all our guests here, what is one thing that you believe people need to hear?
Your camera's here. I'm about to say, like, what?
I need five. I'm not going to do that. Five people give me $5. Man. There's five of you in
whatever's
here.
Whatever's on
you.
Your heart. But I see you.
I think for the musicians, I think this is so stereotypical, but like, or like cliche to say. But, like, it's okay to love Jesus, bro. Like, it's okay to be cool with loving Jesus, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't weird. Like, I come from a space where, like, my school, we didn't have a lot of people that go to church. So I was the church boy. I was the one wearing the polo shirts. And they'd be like, hey, that's church boy. Honorable mention story. I went to a party. I'll never forget this. I tell this story all the time. I went to a party. And I wanted to be cool so bad. Like, I just wanted to be out there. Yeah. Child, I'm over here trying to dance. And, you know, I can't dance for real. But, I'm just, you know, enjoying the music and enjoying all that stuff. And I'll never forget, the music stopped. A few of people I went to school with that know me, they're, like, asking me, like, hey, why are you here? I'm just like, I just want to enjoy the party. Like, is that weird? They're like, nah, you don't belong here, bro. This ain't for you. I end up leaving. 15 minutes later, that same party gets shot up.
Mm. Wow.
They live. Praise the good Lord. That's warned me. But who knows? It could have been me that got shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so for people that don't believe to still be able to give the word of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say it's okay to show people that you love Jesus because you never know the unbeliever is attracted to that. And they'll see that and give you forewarning and don't understand why they're warning you. So...
Wow.
And that was not a made-up story. I promise you that's a real story because, you know, people get on here, you know, I was sold for drugs at 15. You know, that's a real story. Where I come from, you know, I think we right under Chicago with, like, crime. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for, you know, I got a lot of, you know, friends of mine. I got a picture to this day. Some of my best friends all are dead. And I'm the only one that made it out. You know what I'm saying? From my city, I think even on a minstrel standpoint, I'm probably out of like the few. I'm the only one that moved away from my city and is successful in what I do. I don't, you know, work a 9-to-5 because I need to. I work a 9-to-5 because if I want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's okay to love Jesus because, you know, your gift will make room. But if you want your gift to make room, you got to love Jesus for it to work.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, your gift is useless. More now, all the churches I have shot down in this podcast, I promise you, they're out of the country in Europe somewhere. I promise.
No churches were harmed during the recording of this podcast.
Yeah.
But no, we really do appreciate you coming on, man, and we just hope that like people have heard something that's going to change and alter their life for the better.
Yeah.
So thank you all for watching another episode of Here's the Thing. Yes. Until next time.
See ya.
Peace.